Welcome to another podcast from Innovation Analysis Group. This recording is copyrighted by Innovation Analysis Group.
Today is April the 28th, 2010, and I'm speaking with Robert Isom, who is EVP and Chief Operating Officer of US Airways. And Robert, you've just done a very interesting presentation at Media Day about the improvements in the operations of the airline over the last year. Perhaps you could share with our listeners some of the highlights of these successes that you've pulled off.
Great, Addison. It's good to see you, and certainly a topic that I like to talk about. So we've had a real interesting ride here over the last few years. If you take a look at U.S. Airways after the merger, America West and U.S. Airways had a rough operating patch back in 2006, beginning of 2007, which put the company in a position where on most operating metrics, it was at the bottom of the list. And so over the last few years, we put the company through a process that has involved every aspect of management, every aspect of the operation and resources and all frontline people as well, where we've tried to get everybody pointed in the same direction. And to start with, that really involved getting people to understand the importance of departing on time. That at the end of the day, departing on time gives you a better chance to arrive on time. Departing on time and arriving on time give you a better chance to have bags delivered where they should be. And not only does it help our passengers, but it also helps the companies in a number of ways. So for instance, our employees. In periods where there are big delays and rolling delays, they don't know when they're gonna go home at night. They don't know when they can take their break. But if the airline is running on time, their lives become much more enjoyable. They know suddenly when they're gonna be going home. They have a better idea of when they're taking breaks and things like that. So it's a real benefit. And the other thing, Addison, is that the best way to run an efficient airline, an airline that ultimately will make money, is to do one that runs on time. And so everything that we've done has been about trying to get the airline started on time and then carrying that on throughout the day.
It was interesting that I think in more than one of the presentations today, there was the discussion of the fact that really in this business, everything is schedule driven. Mm-hmm. And consequently, if you stick to some kind of a schedule, everything just should fall in place, right? Mm-hmm. Would you ascribe then that the success in operational terms is primarily due to this focus on schedule?
Well, it's been a combination of schedule and all as well, all resources around the schedule as well. So you have to have a schedule that fits together, and we run a fairly complex operation here. We have hubs in Phoenix and Philadelphia and Charlotte, big focus city in DCA. And so you have to make sure first off that aircraft can route through those and are scheduled appropriately, passengers can connect. But then as well, every resource that you can think of has to be aligned around that as well. So it's not just about schedule. You have to make sure that you have the right aircraft types, aircraft availability, aircraft that are maintained so that they will have a high level of dispatch reliability. You have to make sure that you have pilots and flight attendants available where they need to be with sufficient reserve staffing. You have to make sure that your passenger service, your fleet service, and then your airports as well are all configured to allow that schedule to actually work. So I'll agree with you. At the start, you do need a schedule that will certainly support your revenue aspirations and also your operational goals. But then it also has to be a schedule that you can resource around it and actually accomplish your objectives.
So how did you get all the disparate parts? I mean, it's a very complicated business to run. How do you get all the disparate parts to coalesce around the concept of we're going to stick to the schedule? And for example, the MRO side of the business had to make sure that there were minimal planes out of service, that the staffing was in the right place. How did, I guess, perhaps the OCC is where this all comes together, but how did you manage to get everybody, particularly when you mentioned the fact that there was, shall we say, an unsettled employee base? Mm-hmm. How did you get everybody to coalesce around this idea and just put aside all the aggravation and focus. This is what we've got to do to make this work.
Well, it starts with having a management team that can gather around a goal, a simple set of goals. And we went through a lot of reorganization in the first year or so that I was here. So virtually every organization saw some level of change in terms of overall structure and staffing and responsibilities. And the purpose of that was to make sure that not only you were aligned to accomplish a goal, but also had people that you were confident that were capable of executing and that understood and bought into the ultimate goal. And we spent a considerable amount of time making sure that the organization was set up appropriately. We started there, as you talked, schedule was next, and then really some simple goals. So if you start with D0 and you back into everything that it takes to get an aircraft out on time, departing at D0, it backs up into every organization you can think of. So you back up into maintenance or in-flight or flight operations. What is their responsibility? What resources do they need to actually accomplish that goal? And so you'd like to make it a lot more complex, and that it was some great theory that you pulled out of the air. But at the end of the day, it really comes back to, look, we're trying to fly an airline on time. Everybody has a piece to that. As long as you're organized clearly around what responsibilities are, it's something that very easily leads into a number of steps that each of those individual organizations need to do their part.
And perhaps you can tell us, if we look at you, obviously this is audio, so no, we can't really see the slide, but you did show a slide where you had showed the relative performance of the airline by the various measures.
Right.
Perhaps you can talk a little bit about that, of how this is actually, how you've gone through the step change and your team has pulled this all together.
So over the past 3 years, it's been a steady walk of improvement. As I mentioned, we started with D0 and making that the primary focus. And very quickly, we had ourselves aligned around that and became, within the first 6 months of at least when I came on board, of being the best, or one of the best, if not the best, airlines at departing on time. Soon after that, you saw some other things to start falling in place. A14, so arrivals within 14. That resulted from departing on time and having a schedule built that allowed you to do that. And very quickly you saw that in 2008, we were the best in the business at arriving on time. We improved from that in 2009, although we, on a relative basis, we dropped by 0.1%. We fell behind United in finishing among the network carriers last year in A14. Baggage performance has also tied into that and has made a steady walk, so that we're only second behind Continental in terms of the network carriers in terms of baggage performance. And a lagging measure, customer complaints, has also shown steady improvement, so that we've pulled ourselves off the bottom in all DOT rankings, to where now even in complaints we're in the middle of the pack. As I mentioned, the airline quality rankings put out by Wichita State and University of Nebraska that compile all of those metrics and create a ranking have shown that steady improvement. So we've been very pleased with how all of those have fit together. And if you peel back the onion a little bit to take a look at sub-goals around achieving those higher level DOT metrics, you'll see that whether it's any maintenance metric, whether it's pilot and flight attendant staffing metrics, all those have improved in the same vein.
I'm thinking about, as you mentioned this, these different aspects, I'm thinking about the days when Continental was so unsettled and there was a focus there on step by step by step improvements, and there were the rewards programs for as the airline met certain goals, the employees were rewarded. It seems that you're doing a similar thing here. How long do you think it's going to, how long before the market, the traveling public understands that you've taken the company through really a fundamental change in flavor? And how long do you think it takes before the employees are all, well, as a passenger, how long would it be before we as passengers see this stuff playing out like it's happened at Continental?
Well, Addison, in terms of our employees, in 2008, our employees benefited with an additional, I think, $500 in terms of our triple play bonus program. You know, every individual $500. Last year, I think it was $350. Mm-hmm. And we pay out every time that we achieve basically a top ranking in A14 in customer complaints and baggage handling. So there was some excitement created around, you know, achieving, you know, another $50 or $100 in every paycheck. And that was right away with our employees. And fortunately, we've seen that continue on. And as long as you continue to produce these kind of results, that benefit is there. For our customers, I think there's a lag aspect to certain elements of perception. In terms of on-time performance, there's really nobody that's done any better than us over the last 2 years. Now we operate in some very difficult, you know, areas of the country, but the fact of the matter is nobody's done any better than us. And our baggage performance has, as I've mentioned before, has moved in lockstep with our on-time performance. Now, in terms of complaints, and that's one aspect that we continue to really focus on, and I made some mention of this in my presentation today, there is a lagging aspect to that. But what you'll see when you examine complaints, it still is primarily focused on core reliability measures. The more we improve, the more we'll see improvement in complaints. And that has been a steady drop. Now, the kind of things that we see going forward that will, I think, accelerate perception is making sure that we're one of the best network carriers in terms of recovering when things don't go right for our customers. We had a talk a little bit before that, you know, in the airline business, really good is 80% on time, or, you know, low 80s in terms of on time. So you're still disappointing on some metric a good proportion of your passengers. And really, I think the airlines that can find a way to ease passengers' concerns, get them back on their way, right any wrongs, I think those are the airlines that are going to see success going forward.
Yeah, I think that the example of the recent volcano in Iceland is a classic example of how this industry gets hammered by an exogenous factor that no one could have planned for. And the name of the game here is not just the fact that you're 80% good.
Right.
What are you going to do to recover
right.
on the 20%? Mm-hmm. So just as a last question, what are the clever things that you're hoping to put in place now, let's say, going forward for 2010? We're going to go into summer.
Right.
We're going to have these new delay issues that are going to play out and for almost certainly will create some kind of havoc. What are the kinds of things that you could put in place now for recovery when those events come your way?
Well, I think we have to really take a look at technology and self-service as being keys to addressing the needs of a large mass of customers all at the same time, because that's when the issues really happen. They happen all at once because of weather or, you know, the volcano or whatever it may be. And that's where you really have to be able to capable of upsizing your resources to accommodate customers. And I don't think you can do that just in the way that we've done things in the past. So I would take a look at much better information flows that can be delivered, not through necessarily through a phone call, but through accessing web, through better pushing of information to PDAs and cell phones and things like that. So if in the instance of, you know, I need a new boarding pass because my flight's changed, you know, the most effective way that I could do something would be to deliver that electronically. And certainly we're making a lot of progress on that front. Another thing that is really important to us is making sure that our customers are notified of changes. And we're making great progress on that and have new systems and new tools that are out now in test and will be out full force this summer. And the other thing, Addison, that I think is important is making sure customers feel like they have the control to actually make the changes that they need themselves. And that we really have to rely on the web. And so whether it's reissue you know, changing anything in terms of an itinerary, those are the kind of things that we really like to push and put in a position where a customer can say, I'm smart enough. You put all the information in front of me. I can tell you what I want to do, and I can do it without having to wait in the line or getting on the phone and waiting in a queue.
Thank you so much.
Addison, thank you.
This recording is copyrighted by Innovation Analysis Group.